Thanks, Roger. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Monday. It's Bill and Wendy. Thrilled that you're here. We should have a good show for you. We're at 312-981-7200. Hello, Wendy.
Top of the morning to you,
Top
Bill.
Top of the morning back at you.
It is. It smells like cilantro outside.
You mentioned that, and I wonder what would cause that. Why would it smell like cilantro today?
Are you a cilantro lover?
I'm indifferent toward it. It's okay.
Because that's one of those things that you either love or you hate.
No, I'm right in the middle. If it's on something, I'll have it. If it isn't, I won't ask for it. I won't go, boy, this would only be enhanced with the flavor of cilantro. If it's there, it's there. I'm okay with it.
I enjoy it. I didn't used to like it. A lot of people say it tastes like soap.
It does. Yeah. My mom was a traditionalist. She would just put soap on the food. We wouldn't have to worry about cilantro. She would just go, I think you like the chicken. There's some palm olive on it. And we would enjoy it.
I got lemon joy in my mouth when I said J word. I called my neighbor that.
Oh, and then the punishment was?
Liquid joy. Lemon, thank God, because at least it had a flavor. But my mom did not believe in the bar of soap. The liquid joy got in every nook and cranny. And it worked because I've never sworn since.
Right. How about that? Who would have thought it would have been so successful? I only remember my mom doing that to us once. Well, I say us. It's me. My brother didn't have to have the soap.
Really?
But I remember one time.
Because you don't swear hardly ever.
I don't swear too often, and only when there is soap in the vicinity, just in case somebody wants to teach me a lesson. But I remember she had me, it was Irish Spring, and she had me lick both ends of it, and it wasn't pleasant.
You just had to lick it?
Yeah. Why, what do most people do?
My mom started with the bar of soap, and I don't think it was Irish Spring, but it was very popular then, so maybe it was.
Maybe Irish Spring. Yeah.
Is that magically delicious?
No, those are Lucky Charms that are magically
getting
delicious.
Them mixed up.
You're not allowed to request. Like, you can't say to your mom, hey, do you guys do substitutions? Because honestly, the Irish Spring isn't doing anything for me. No, I don't even remember what I said. I just remember there was always the threat of having my mouth washed off with soap. And my mom said, well, that's it. I'll prove it to you. And she gave me a bar, a fresh bar, which was nice of her.
Not one that had been on somebody's butt.
Right. She loved me. She wasn't going to, and then she said, here's what we're going to do. You're going to lick one side. And then when you're done with that side, you're going to lick the other. And I did. And it's not.
I had to bite it. I had to get it in my teeth. My mom was terrible.
That's awful.
It didn't work. The bar or the liquid joy.
Who started that? I mean, where did that come from? Why does every parent, and it's one of those things like, you know how every dad has that thing somewhere in their back where they go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take off my belt. And as a kid, you go, oh, no, dad's going to take off his belt because either he'll hit you with it or his pants will fall down, which is also awful.
But at least you can laugh about the situation
right.
Then, and it diffuses all the anger.
All right, there's that. Yeah.
Where they came up with Sansa belt pants.
Right.
To protect kids and keep the pants up.
For fathers of bad kids, Sansa belt slacks. That's their marketing campaign.
And you could get them at Chess King.
Right. That's true, isn't it? That's true. You got to see your son play his first paying job yesterday as a musician.
It was pretty exciting.
Is that exciting to see that? Yeah.
It was pretty nice. I was out in Midlothian at a place called Sullivan's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd ever been in Midlothian before, but I was very excited to see the Midlothian Turnpike once again.
Yeah, the Midlothian Turnpike this time of year can't be beat.
Who knew that we had a turnpike here in the Midwest?
It's so strange because the turnpike I'm most used to is the one in Florida that goes for hundreds of miles. You know, it's your way of saying, I'm almost somewhere in Florida. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm almost there, I think. But the Midlothian Turnpike is not quite as long or extravagant.
But it's free.
That's true. That's the benefit. If there's going to be a benefit in it, it doesn't cost anything.
You get what you pay for.
It doesn't cost anything yet. You know how they are in Midlothian. They'll squeeze you for every nickel you've got. They're finding out a way to charge you.
Well, it was really cool. I'm part mom, part roadie.
Oh yeah.
Because I have to help with the stuff.
Did they do cover songs or did they do their own work?
Three originals and then some covers as well.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's just a thrill to see your 16-year-old son rocking it.
Sure, it is.
You know, what? I'm a rock chick from way back. So
this is a success story for you.
Yeah.
This is big. And the crowd was good. They had enough people out to see him.
Yep. And his little brother gave him a hug afterwards and said, Michael, I didn't know you were so good. So that was a great moment.
I think any rock star will tell you that they're happiest that they've ever been is when their brother gives them a hug at the end of a job, because that says, I have succeeded in my brother's eyes. That's perfect.
It does mean something.
It's big.
It was really fantastic.
Very, very big.
And we are about to embark on the first Snyder Mac road trip. We've never done one before, so we will be next week going to Nashville.
Wow. That's the birthplace of music.
I know. Pretty excited
that's
about
great.
It. Michael is going to do a blues camp there, the Fernando Jones Chicago Kids Blues Camp in Nashville. And then he's going to do it here in Chicago the following week at Columbia College. Mm. And we decided we're going to do a road trip. So hopefully we'll survive it.
You guys will be fine. The four of you have never gone anywhere. You've never gotten in the car and gone anywhere.
No.
How can that be?
I mean, we've gone to... I know.
And it's such an easy road trip because I just did it.
How long to Nashville, Mary?
7 hours. Oh, well, it took us so longer because we had to pick up someone in Champaign. But, 7 hours. It's a breeze.
Mary's Uber is such that they only pick up people in other states.
Yes.
They don't do anyone local.
My niece. But watch out for those bachelorettes. They're everywhere in Nashville.
What are those?
What bachelorettes?
Every bachelorette party is now held in Nashville.
Is that true? Why would that be?
That's where I was for a bachelorette party. And there were 7 bachelorette parties on the floor above us at the hotel. Alone.
You know,
alone.
Stephanie, our old producer, had a bachelorette party in Nashville.
That's the destination
Why?
Now. They all go there. They do the little pedal crawls on the bikes.
With the pedal guitar?
No, it's like an apparatus where you pedal. There's 16 people sit around this big table with pedals underneath it, and you pedal from bar to bar.
Oh,
Now I know what this is. Yeah. They do that here too. Somebody does that here.
They don't have the pedals here.
Oh, they don't.
They don't have. No, they wouldn't allow it. No, they don't allow it. I guess they did try it once, but anyway,
unsuccessful.
Outlawed. Yeah. So yeah, that's what everybody does there, and the weird, you know, bachelorettes and their strange outfits matching, you know, tutus, whatever you got going.
This is perfect.
It's crazy, but the music is phenomenal. Every live music all day long in every bar, it's just great.
Oh, you're going to have a good time then.
Yeah, it is fun.
It's just shocking that the four of you have never gone on a road trip of any kind.
You know my family.
Well, it might be an involved doing, but I'm just shocked that that's never happened.
Well, the hotel does accept dogs, so I'm going back and forth whether or not we should bring Tiki.
Or let me keep an eye on the dog.
Yeah,
while you're
gone. He'll do that. He'll be emaciated,
right.
And there will be piles of stuff all over.
We were
over
only
my
gone
house.
For 5 days.
The rabbit will eat him.
I might need some advice for a family road trip. You've taken one before?
Oh yeah, we've gone on several. You could take a day trip, or I mean, if you wanted to go for longer, that's doable.
And they're so easy these days because the kids just sit there with their headphones on, or you know, and they don't even pay attention to you at all.
Think of the
They're
fun.
They're on their phones the whole time. Yeah, it's like so easy now.
Before, no one has to talk to anybody.
You
can all watch movies on your home devices.
That might save me.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be so fine.
Just take a nap.
Yeah. Take a nap now.
While
nap.
Driving?
Yeah.
So you're driving?
No. Well, I said to Jim, we'll split it. And he's like, 7 hours is nothing. Once I get past the 2 hour mark, I start getting theater ass, but now
car.
It'll be car ass.
Yeah.
I can't sit for that long.
Oh. And that's what's prevented this trip from ever happening?
No. Again, you know my family. But we had such a great time at Disney, and the kids are growing up. And
now you do it more often.
We'll see how this goes.
All right. One at a time.
Yeah.
Good. That's the way to be. A quick break. More show ahead. Dick Gregory's on the show later on. Noted pet expert Steve Dale will be on.
Very excited about that.
And Eric Zorn. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill and Wendy. It's WGN. You can call us. You can text us. 312-981-7200 gets that done. I have an opportunity, Wendy, for you or somebody to make $10,000. It's easy.
All right. How?
It's so easy. All you have to do is name your baby. Are you having a baby?
God, I hope not.
If you have a baby, if you have a baby, name your baby Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Is it quinoa? That ruins the whole story. Because that I would do for $10,000. Quinoa. Name your baby Quinoa. And the people at BJ's Restaurant and Brew House might give you a $10,000 gift card.
You didn't recognize that as quinoa?
I've never seen the word quinoa written until today. Now it makes sense.
K-E-E-N.
No.
It's Q-U-I.
Q-U-I-N-O-A.
No, I know. But
quinoa.
That's how it should be. Quinoa.
You are
That's
adorable.
Crazy. Well,
or adorkable.
This English language is not for me. I can't.
I like the quinoa. I wanted Michael to name his band the Quinoa Wah Pedal.
Now, they wouldn't get $10,000. It's a great name, but they wouldn't make any money. A chain of restaurants, BJ's Restaurant. There's 163 of them. I've never heard of them either. I'm only going to do stories today that I have absolutely no idea about. I'll be like CNN. The chain has 163 BJ's restaurants across the nation. Where are they? Are there BJ's restaurants anywhere near us? I've never heard of them before. 163 of them. Announced on Wednesday that in celebration of its new quinoa bowl dishes, it's offering a massive gift card, $10,000, to parents who name their newborn baby after the high-protein grain.
What's it called?
Quinoa. Some people call it quinoa.
Why did I correct
them? But they're doofuses.
I try to help you, but I shouldn't have.
You know what I think clouded my mind?
Let's hear this.
It looks like, you know, Qdoba Grill? You've seen those, right?
Qdoba?
Yeah, Qdoba. It looks to me like that. So I think that's why I pronounced it that way. I've never seen quinoa spelled out before. We are so excited to introduce these three amazing new quinoa, as rich people call them, bowls, that we wanted to do something big, maybe even a little bit crazy, said Kevin May. He's the chief marketing guy over at BJ's Restaurants, which are hard to find but tough to beat. Have you ever seen one? Where are they? If you're trying to win, you better hurry, though. The official contest rules dictate that there's only going to be one winner, and that person is whoever names his or her baby quinoa first during the contest period. So you have to do it first, or you're out of luck.
Looks like the closest one is in Indiana.
Where in Indiana?
Does
it show?
Let's see. Avon, Indiana?
Can you call them, Kevin, and see if they'll deliver?
Sure. Would you like some quinoa?
Yeah, tell them I want the quinoa special.
Okay.
And then hang up so they can't trace the call. No middle names, no nicknames. You have to back it up with a birth certificate to qualify. So if you name, it says your progeny. If you name your progeny quinoa, I'd just say with kid.
How about if you name your kid progeny?
No, you don't get anything for that, which is also a risk you're taking. You're dooming your child to a life of mockery, but you still might get the $10,000 as only one winner will be awarded. Would you even consider, I mean, I know everybody's pressed for cash, but is it worth $10,000 just to name your kid a name that certain people can't pronounce properly?
It would be funny. I'm glad you were never a teacher, because you know the class right, list. You'd right, never get those right.
Right. How many kids would want their money back if I was their teacher?
And quinoa is so popular, I also suggested Nido Quinoa
as a band name
instead of Nido Quino.
Nido Quinoa. Right. And was that voted down quickly?
Yeah, no one heard that expression, except Flatfoot Fluji.
Right. That's it. That's all. All right. A little bit of this, some messages, and then some news, and then more show ahead. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It is very nice to be a resident of Illinois. To be honest with you, I've not lived in any other state ever.
Yeah, it's a good place to live.
And there are certain reasons why Illinois is the best place to live. Some of these will shock you. Some of these, for some reason, I bet you already know.
All right, run them past me.
You're kind of a historian.
Yes, I am.
An Illinoisan.
I am that.
Googling around on BuzzFeed again, and these are reasons that Illinois is better than any other state.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, rebellious drugstore owners in Evanston defied ice cream soda bans by inventing the delicious ice cream sundae.
Now, this story I do know.
I never knew this.
Evanston was a dry town forever and ever and ever, and somehow that translated into ice cream sundaes. I don't know exactly what led to what.
I have the story for you. Evanston used to be very religious, and leaders of the town banned selling ice cream sodas on Sundays due to the immorality of soda fountains.
Yeah, so boy. As you've been to soda fountains.
They're terrible.
Ah, bunch of ne'er-do-wells.
That's a great word.
Yeah.
In response, snarky drugstore operators served ice cream with the syrup, but without the soda, which they called sundaes, like the days, A-Y, you know, D-A-Y-S. Mm-hmm. These same smart alecks then changed the name to Sunday when the religious people objected, so it's now the A-E at the end.
Right.
I never knew that.
Yep.
You know, there's a town in Wisconsin that has the same claim.
Well, they're wrong, Roger.
Yeah, of course. Wisconsin.
They're lying.
Attention.
They stole it from Evanston.
Yeah, they did.
What, the Packer Shack? Is that the place?
Is there a place called the Packer Shack?
If there isn't, why
there
not?
There should be a Packer Shack.
All right. Number two, Illinois is where wanderlust grew from a dream into an actual possibility. Commercial air travel was first made possible in Illinois.
Well, I guess commercial air travel.
Jane Eads, a reporter from the Chicago Herald, was the first ever commercial passenger. She flew from Maywood to Iowa City on July 1st, 1927 on a Boeing biplane and was freaking out the whole time.
They still have not found her luggage. They know it's got to be in the area. They just don't know exactly where. They'll find it.
What was the in-flight movie?
Good question.
They didn't have movies yet. They just told you that someday there'd be movies. Somebody stood up there and went, someday this is the movie you would have seen if we had movies yet. We don't have them yet.
And she said, I can't hear you. I'm freaking out.
Right. I'm scared.
Again, these are reasons that Illinois is better than your state, any other state. Arcades were basically born in Chicago in the 1930s.
Oh, wow.
What's the most important staple of every arcade? Pinball, which is based on the French billiard game of bagatelle. But the modern coin-operated pinball machines with the flashing lights and dinging bells were created in Chicago during the Great Depression to pick up the spirits of the unemployed.
We had all the – we had Bally, we had Midway, we had Williams, we had Gottlieb. They were all based here. This was the pinball capital of the world. They don't make many pinball machines anymore, sadly. There's only one or two companies left, but they were all made here.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
I am learning something from the show today.
How about that?
Chicago had the very first all color TV station ever.
Which one is it?
On April 15th, 1956, Chicago added a little color to cable when WNBQ became the first all-color television station.
In 1956? Is that when?
Most stations around the U.S. were still showing mostly black and white programming.
Huh.
Did not know
Good.
That.
Good. So what did that station become? And did NBQ become... It couldn't have been NBC because that was already in existence.
I don't know.
I wonder what it
became.
You
have a computer there in front of you with a
Google
machine.
I don't know what it does. I have no idea what it does.
WNBQ.
Was that became WMAQ?
Yes.
Yeah.
But MAQ is Channel 5.
Right. But WBKB was Channel 7.
Right. I've heard that.
WNBQ, according to Wikipedia, so your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
Where does it say this?
It had to be.
It was back when we only had four stations in town.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The station signed on October 8th, 1948 as WNBQ. It was the last of Chicago's four commercial VHF stations to launch. And then...
So they went all color, but it had to be one of those situations where people didn't have color televisions yet.
So you wouldn't see it.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, I just got high def recently.
A year
I was watching
ago.
No def.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. Aurora was the first city in the United States to light their nights up with electricity. In 1881, Aurora became the first city in America to use fully electric street lighting, earning the city the nickname City of Lights. Did you know that?
No. Uh-uh.
I didn't either. The largest and probably most fragrant bakery in the world, Nabisco Factory in Chicago.
Yeah.
7300 South Kedzie. It's the largest cookie factory in the world. In 1995, it churned out a mouth-watering 1.5 billion Oreos.
Mm. Not enough.
Exciting.
Make more.
Jane Addams of Cedarville was the first American woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Good. This is weird, but why do some bakeries smell really good and then other ones? I've told you about Cedar Rapids. Cedar Rapids has... Is it General Mills? It's one of the cereal companies is based in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and it smells awful. Like, it just smells horrendously bad. And you go, how can a factory that makes delicious cereal always just smell so gut-wrenchingly bad?
Maybe that's the day they make Stinkios.
I bet it is. Like, everyone in town pretends to not notice, but you walk around and everyone's got this smile like, yeah, I don't smell anything. Yes, you do. It's coming from the factory over there. They should put a giant Airwick salad right next to it.
What does it smell like?
It smells like a public restroom.
Really?
Yeah, it smells awful. And the people there, I guess you become accustomed to it at some point, but what if you're in from out of town, you buy like nose clips. You got to walk around with nose clips all the time. It's terrible.
Cause
I know. It's a great, it's a nice town. It just smells awful.
Argo, of the Argo Summit fame.
Yeah.
They make corn products there.
Right.
And you have like a certain odor that's in the air. It's not really bad, but it's noticeable.
Right. Yeah, I've been close to there.
And
you're right.
And that's not really a great smell.
Yeah, but it's not like this. I can't remember which cereal company it is. I'll look that up on my, what did you call this? A
computer.
I'll look that up.
Yes, the second woman ever to receive the Peace Prize, Jane Addams, was the founder of the Hull House to aid immigrants and the founder of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. She was awarded the Peace Prize in 1931.
Well deserved, I say. I know you don't like Jane Addams, but I...
Why would you say that?
You're always bashing Jane Addams.
I kind of don't like that she has the double D in her name, but she had a double D cup.
Is that why?
Yes.
I didn't know that tied in.
Here's another reason why Illinois is better than your state. Chicago's Shedd Aquarium is the second largest in the whole world with 5 million, yes, million gallons.
Whose is bigger than ours? I thought we had the biggest. We have the best, but whose is biggest?
That's what she said. I don't know. With that amount of water, the shed can hold a whole lot of fish. In fact, the aquarium, which opened in 1930, houses over 20,000 specimens.
How about that?
I don't know who the largest is.
It is a great aquarium.
Here's another one. Chicagoan Robert Henry Lawrence Jr. beat the odds to become the first African-American astronaut in 1967. He was an Air Force pilot with a PhD in chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
He was selected as an astronaut in the Manned Orbital Laboratory, a precursor to the shuttle program.
And what year was this?
I don't have...
Why isn't that a story that's more well-known? That's quite a distinction. I would have thought he'd get more press for that. I never heard... Did you ever hear of him before today?
Mm-hmm. Two more. Joseph Cochran of Shelbyville spared a lot of hands in China when she... invented the automatic dishwasher.
Oh, we owe a lot to her.
Yes. Cochran was a wealthy socialite who was frustrated that her family's antique china would often get chipped during hand washing. Her invention was unveiled at the 1893 Chicago World's Fair, and dry hands have been a worry of the past ever since.
She's a hero.
That's pretty impressive.
That's
I didn't know any of these things. And finally, Chicago reached for the stars by erecting the first ever skyscraper in 1885.
And which building is this?
The Home Insurance Building, once located at Adams and LaSalle, was the world's first modern skyscraper. William LeBaron Jenney engineered the revolutionary steel frame, which made this and all other skyscrapers possible. It was knocked down and replaced in 1931.
It doesn't say how many stories high it was.
I can count.
Because it couldn't have been too high.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. About 12 to
12 stories? Yeah. All right. That's a good starter, I guess.
That's pretty impressive. I didn't know our little Illinois had all that.
Yeah, we're the best state. Jane Addams hater. Always bashing Jane Addams.
No.
All right, a quick break. More show ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm pretty excited about this one. Wait, you're jumping the gun here.
Here's some loud music.
Lions, wallabies, monkeys, bears.
All in one setting.
Yes, we're going to Brookfield Zoo. It's Tuesday, July 14th from 9 to noon. I used to work there.
I know you did.
I'm pretty excited.
It's going to be fun for you to go back home. This is your hometown voice. WGN radio listeners will get exclusive early access at 9 a.m. That's a half hour before the zoo usually opens. You'll be able to see the broadcast and hear the broadcast. You'll meet some animals from the new Wild Encounters exhibit as well.
And visit the events page at WGNradio.com for all the details. It's the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. There we go.
That's the music right there.
I believe we're going to give away some free passes later on. We're not going to start today, though, on that.
No, so but very, very soon.
Pretty excited about going back to the zoo.
Won't that be fun?
Yep.
Won't that be a good time? We've got a bunch of texts at 312-981-7200. Wendy was just pointing out some of the things that makes our state, Illinois, better than the other 49.
And I did not know any of those things. I'm pretty excited about them. You had mentioned that in Cedar Rapids it's kind of smelly.
Yeah, I don't know how to put it pleasantly, but there's an aroma around the town because there's a cereal factory there, and I don't understand why that would smell bad. That should smell great.
A bunch of people have said it's Quaker Oats.
It is Quaker Oats. It is.
And yes, it smells awful, says 815, except on the day they make crunch berries.
I should have booked my trip that day. I didn't realize you could plan in advance.
Area code 309 says Decatur has a soybean plant. Smells terrible. I could see that.
But yeah, you could see it with soybeans, but with Quaker Oats, you go, hey, there's Honey Nut Cheerios being made. This is going to smell fantastic, and it doesn't.
815 says, has Nabisco changed the Oreo? I now have to submerge it for 8 minutes to get it saturated.
Oh, I don't know. Have they changed? Have they? I don't know if they have or not.
I know Chips Ahoy changed years ago. It's not quite as crunchy as it used to be.
If it's working, don't fix it.
And I dip a Chip Ahoy.
Yeah.
Singularly.
Yeah.
I do not dip an Oreo. Do you dip Oreos?
No, not with any. I like my food and my drink separate.
Oh, that's true. You don't dip any cookies?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Nothing like a good soggy cookie.
Mm-mm.
We also, Quaker Oats. There's a corn oil plant in Justice. It smells nasty. The Argo Summit corn products.
So what would they do to it to make it?
The yeast. They're saying that's what's stinky.
Yeah.
Chicago was named after a smelly onion.
That's true. So why are we surprised when something doesn't smell good around here? We shouldn't be. The town is named after something that doesn't smell all that good.
That's true. There's still a pinball manufacturer in Melrose Park.
That was around the area. It was around the Melrose Park area that all the pinball companies were based. And then, for reasons I still don't understand, pinball kind of fell out of favor. It's resurging a little bit again
so
now,
fun.
But it's not like it used to be.
608 says pinball's coming back. Stern, not Howard, is in Maywood, and they are still producing and selling pinballs.
Good.
Pinball machines, not
I
just
hope
the
so.
Balls.
No, the whole machine.
NBQ, WNBQ was the TV station. WMAQ was the radio station, both broadcasting from the merchandise mart.
Oh, how about that? Good. Very good. I didn't remember the name change for some. Well, I wasn't born yet, but I've studied up on this stuff, but I didn't remember that they had changed the name.
Here's another fast fact. Aurora has more Sears catalog homes than any other city. It was pretty wild. There's a few in Brookfield, and you literally ordered
these
a house.
These were prefab houses you would order through the catalog and then build it yourself.
Yeah. They're
wow.
pretty cool looking.
What would something like that run you? Any idea?
I have no idea. I'm sure back then it was maybe $20,000.
But imagine the concept of buying a house through a catalog and having to, it's like IKEA, I guess, but on a much bigger scale.
Yeah, but imagine people like you or my husband, Jimmy Mack,
right.
having to build the house.
Right.
It would look like an acorn, or nothing would work. The toilets wouldn't flush.
How terrible would that house be?
Lou Manfredini would come over and go, "What have you done?"
He would cry. He would weep openly. He would see what we had massacred and just weep openly.
I'm reading that in 1908, Sears issued its first specialty catalog for houses, and they ranged in price from $360 to $2,890.
You could get a house for $360.
And if you were handy, which
yeah,
you're not.
If you were handy.
You could build it yourself. But see, now I don't understand, like, would you do all the electrical and the plumbing, too?
I can't imagine what that house
like
would
shed?
Include. It would have to be, right? It would have to be. How? It couldn't be an involved house with plumbing and stuff for that kind of money, could it? Could you have running water in a house that cost that little?
Well, you know, part of it is the labor that you're putting in,
yeah,
so
guess.
You would save the money.
I would imagine, but it couldn't be. I mean, I know you're not getting a great quality house, but just the simple amenities of running water, and I can't imagine that being part of it for that kind of money.
From 1908 to 1940, Sears Roebuck and Company sold about 75,000 homes through their mail order modern homes program. Over that time, Sears designed 447 different housing styles, from the elaborate multi-story Ivanhoe with its elegant French doors and art glass windows.
Nice.
To the simpler Goldenrod, which served as a quaint three-room, no-bath cottage for summer vacationers.
Oh, wow.
An outhouse could be purchased separately for Goldenrod and similar cottage dwellers. Customers could also choose a house to suit their individual tastes and budgets.
there was a time when my daughters were little that they wanted a dollhouse, and my wife and I looked, and there was this great dollhouse, but you had to build it. And we looked at each other and just, without even saying anything, just couldn't stop laughing at the idea of me trying to build a dollhouse. And that's a dollhouse. This is a real house that you'd have to live in. We'd be closed down. The Board of Health would come by and close us down immediately.
The ability to mass produce the materials used in Sears homes lessened manufacturing costs, which lowered the purchasing costs for customers. Not only did pre-cut and fitted materials shrink construction time up to 40%, but Sears' use of balloon-style framing, drywall, and asphalt shingles greatly eased construction for home buyers.
You know when you go to Sears and everything smells like caramel corn? Did the house smell like caramel corn? Because I would want one. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got a big show ahead. Noted pet expert Steve Dale, comedian Dick Gregory, and our friend Eric Zorn. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Roger. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder, joined by our friend and frequent guest, three-time cover boy of Noted Pet Expert magazine, Steve Dale.
Why are you backpedaling? Why did you say that he's here to annoy us?
I was being ironic.
I'm sitting right here.
Oh, there you are, Steve. Yes. Hi. Yeah. How are you? Nice to
I'm
see
okay.
you. Steve,
I'm okay.
Do me a favor.
I used to say that Bill, and I still say it, funniest person in radio.
Oh, you're too kind. You're very, very kind.
It's true.
A couple of quick things. Number one, 4th of July is coming up this weekend.
Yep.
I know we've talked about this in the past. This is a very difficult time for a lot of people's pets. They're scared out of their minds, right?
Literally, in some cases, out of their minds. And I can answer any questions people have about that. So what can you do at this point in time? So if you have a pet that's absolutely terrified.
Don't take them to Crazy Kaplan's.
No.
By the way, can I just say Midlothian is 6 Crazy Kaplan signs away.
Oh, it is?
The fun has started counting the crazy Kaplans, and it's not David Kaplan.
No.
He's crazy, but
really crazy Kaplan.
Yeah.
All right.
So many pets are afraid of him too, but for a completely different reason.
So the noises, the explosions, these are jarring to pets.
Oh, very much.
They don't know what's coming.
Like a thunderstorm, but worse.
And thunderstorm, same thing. Now, the good news about fireworks, if there is good news, there's some predictability. So for thunderstorms, although this year in Chicago, we could say it's just as predictable every day.
Right.
But generally, you don't know when the thunderstorm is going to be many, many weeks in advance. Here we do know. We know that beginning, about the 3rd of July, 2nd of July, we're going to hear those fireworks, and they'll continue for a couple of days. So what can you do about it? Talk to your veterinarian about an anti-anxiety medication if your pet is absolutely terrified. I mean, off the wall, off the map. Fearful. I mean, I actually think some of these animals think they're going to die. I mean, they don't know what's happening. Now, if your pet is just a bit nervous, like I bet Tiki is, just unhappy, there are some things you could do. One thing is have a good time. So go down to the basement if you have one, or go to a room that you can seal off, shut the windows, pump up the music. So there's music playing in the background. Classical music works best. There are actually DVDs.
Dogs are very educated. They like the composers.
Enjoy Brahms. There are DVDs and CDs now that are made for dogs. And some of the stuff has
been
studied. Somebody's
raking in the bucks.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Steve, are you referring to Dave Matthew Span's last two albums? Is that what you're referring to?
No, I am not. I am talking about
Three Dog
studies.
Night.
I thought the same thing, but studies have been done to show that dogs in animal shelters that are very anxious, for example, tend to bark less, tend to show less anxiety when certain types of music is played. So people then took from that, from those studies, and said, well, let's actually make some music for dogs. And I have links to all that on a blog post that I did. But pump up the music, have a pizza party, toss treats all around the room, play with toys. If you have a cat, same
this
thing.
Just to distract your animal.
Yes, that's exactly
right?
it. Yeah, yeah. yeah. A researcher from the 1950s called it Bill Campbell, I think his name was, jollying your pet.
Oh.
And that's essentially what you're doing. And
that sounds dirty.
Yeah.
Maybe not what you're doing. But what you're doing, hopefully, is taking their mind off what they were previously worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And dogs can't multifocus or multitask. Cats, the same thing. So if they're focused on one thing, they're not going to be thinking about another. And that's one difference between, there are several, between dogs and people or cats and people. But one is you can, we could be talking on the radio and you could be thought, I'm sure you're thinking about, oh my, I'm worried about my rabbit at home.
I'm thinking about
where I'm going to have dinner tonight, whatever. But dogs and cats don't do that. So if they're focused on playing and having a good time, then they're having a good time.
Yeah. And a sedative, because in the old days, they would give a dog a sedative. That's not a really good idea, is it?
Doggy downers.
There's a difference between anti-anxiety drugs and going to the drugstore, which people do, and getting some Benadryl. First of all, you're self-dosing your dog, which I don't think is ever a good idea. So talk to your veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, what you're doing is you're making your dog drowsy. So if you are terrified of, fill in the blank, what are you most terrified of?
Bill?
Me? Shots. Needles.
Okay. So if Wendy had a vaccine needle and I had one and we had 30 other people in the room with the same thing and we gave you a sedative and now you're just like trying to stay awake.
Right.
I mean, you're half you're drowsy and you kind of, how does this
you're
make
you? You're still afraid though.
You're even more afraid one would
argue. Yes.
Exactly.
That's true.
That's it. And that's what we were doing to our dogs for decades because we didn't have another choice. Today, there's a better choice. That's anti-anxiety medication.
Can we do a follow-up? You called in to the show a couple of weeks ago. Wendy, you were out of town for this.
Oh, I heard you got him angry.
There was I made noted pet expert Steve Dale very upset because there was a study that had been done by some scientific group. Mm-hmm. I don't remember their name right now, linking people who have cats with schizophrenia. And you were furious and said that's so untrue.
It is stupid. You know, I can't explain why, but every 6 or 8 months or a year, some study comes out from somewhere in the world making this link. So I actually read the study after I heard about it on your radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were doing is not linking schizophrenia with cats, but with toxoplasmosis that cats can carry. And what they said is that children who are brought up, raised with cats, are more likely to be schizophrenic because they are exposed to toxoplasmosis.
Is that why, is that the disease that pregnant women shouldn't do the litter box?
Yes, particularly during the second, I think it is, trimester. But you have to understand toxoplasmosis, which I know is something you've been asking about, to better understand why the study doesn't make any sense. So toxoplasmosis is something in the environment overall. You can get it, and according to the CDC, you're more likely to get it gardening if you don't wash your hands after, because animals might have done number two that are infected. Yeah. Not only cats, other animals in the garden, or from uncooked meat, actually, is very common. Cats are then on the list, so they're not first on the list, according to the CDC. Also, a cat gets toxo from eating an infected animal, rodent usually.
Yeah.
If they're indoor only cats, and increasingly our cats are just that, they have no exposure unless they eat uncooked meat that's improperly prepared.
Right.
So they are not going to have this. If the cat does have it, only 7 to 10 days in their life do they release the organism that can spread the illness. And even then, the organism has to be in the litter box a day or more. And most people scoop, we hope, within 24 hours.
So not scoop ice cream, Bill.
No, I get that.
Yeah, yeah. So what are the odds of having a toddler being exposed to the litter box at that point? Now, I'm sure there are toddlers that play in the litter box that shouldn't. I'm sure that happens, or fall into the box, or play into a toy that goes into the box. But cats don't give people, toddlers or adults, toxoplasmosis any other way.
Yeah,
they don't sneeze on us. We don't pet a cat and get it. The only way to get it is through the infected oocyst, as they're called, in the litter box. That's it. So this study makes no sense. The study also didn't consider the number of cats that could have had toxoplasmosis or not. They didn't test the cats before they did the study. So the study, to me, has no validity.
What's in it for them to give out what you're saying is false information? I don't understand what they get out
of this. Well, my assumption is they're trying, I can't speak for the researchers, that they're trying to understand more about toxoplasmosis, which is a serious, I mean, listen, if you mentioned pregnant women during a certain, I think it's the second trimester, if they have exposure to it, the unborn child can have serious birth defects or die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a serious thing. Also, we don't know how toxo affects the brain.
Yeah.
It's suggested in rodents it does in a very unique way. So rodents infected, this is fascinating what nature can do. Rodents infected with toxoplasmosis are actually attracted to cats.
Why?
Therefore, the disease does this because the disease wants the cats to eat the rodent, because the only way the disease can reproduce is inside the cat. So isn't that an interesting twist of nature? The rodents, of course, are born being terrified, as they should, because they will be eaten if they're not of cats.
Right.
But if they get toxo, their brain does a little dipsy-doodle. That is my technical terminology.
Yeah.
And what happens is the rodents actually walk toward the cat saying, eat me, catch me, which is fascinating. So there's a, and this is recent.
That's a game Wendy plays on her anniversary every year, she told us about.
Isn't this interesting?
Yeah.
It is.
How about that? Yeah. All right. Are you up for answering some questions from listeners?
We've already got
a couple calls.
Of course.
312-981-7200. Noted pet expert Steve Dale sitting right over there will be happy to take your calls or your texts. We'll come back with more next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. So look who's sitting right over there. It's noted pet expert Steve Dale. He's here to answer your phone calls or your
texts. Doesn't your foot get caught when you backpedal?
Yeah, a little bit. I got to be careful. My chain almost came loose. 312-981-7200. That's the phone line and the text line.
All right. Joe has got a comment or question for Steve Dale. Hello, Joe.
Hi. I'm just wondering if a smart cat can get used to the 4th of July. I adopted a cat at 2 years old. His first couple of 4th of July, he freaked out. And after a while, he got used to it. And he just raised an eyebrow at the first firecracker and said to himself, oh, it's that time of year again, and go back to sleep on the couch. It's like he got used to it, like he had a calendar in his head or something.
Well, we know that typically the reverse happens. So dogs actually, and sometimes cats, become more fearful. So you have the exceptional cat who's, you know, I mean, we would think that, okay, nothing happened to you this year, or with thunderstorms, nothing happened to you Monday. It's going to rain again a week from Thursday. We'll have a thunderstorm. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing did. You'll be okay the next time. In fact, with most pets, the fear usually gets worse over time. So you have the exception.
Pudy was an exceptional cat. Cat was an exceptional cat.
Yep. Thank you.
Steve, I bet Halloween is similar because the doorbell's constantly ringing, and then there's strangers that are dressed frightening at the door. That must also
sometimes
scare pets.
Yeah. In fact, Halloween, the 4th of July, are the 2 days pets most often get lost. Yeah, because the door keeps opening and closing. And in the case of the 4th, that's for Halloween. In case of the 4th, they're so terrified, door opens and out they go. They want to go somewhere. They want to escape. And what really makes me sad are people who leave dogs in backyards, period. Backyards are not babysitters, but especially around the 4th of July. Yeah. So here you have a terrified dog. It's going boom, boom, boom. Does that sound like a firework?
That sounded great.
Thank
that
you.
Was really convincing.
Thank you.
All right.
Outside, and the dog just says, where do I go? And they jump the fence.
Yeah.
Bob has a question for you, Steve. Bob.
Hey.
Hey, Steve.
Yep.
Bob, in Plainfield, Illinois, we had a really bad problem with feral cats about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I started working with Cope, and we would trap them in a have-a-heart trap.
Love it.
Have them spayed or neutered. Give them a 3-year rabies vaccine. We'd hold them for a couple days until they healed up, and then we release them back in the wild. Now, I also have a pet door, so they hang around. So they'll come in my garage, and it's heated, and they're fine, you know, when they get out of inclement weather. But I've heard that I know for a fact, cats are killing machines. They kill everything. They kill bugs, mice, rabbits, birds, other cats. Is it true that if you release one cat into a neighborhood, it's the equivalent of an ecological disaster?
No. Cats have been around for a very, very long time. Feral cats, well before the Pilgrims, pretty much, you know, or with them. They came over on the Mayflower. That's actually true. So they've been here from day one. The system, to some extent, has evolved with them. They've been a part of evolution. Having said that, I don't endorse cats being outside. I want them to be indoors only for the benefit of the cats, as well as the environmental impact that they do have. I mean, I don't deny that cats kill some birds. They kill whatever they can, and part of it is geography. Studies have been done. So in different parts of the country, they eat predominantly different things, depending on what's available to them. But I think that the killing machine thing is a bit overdone. I love trap, neuter, return. And the reason for that is because eventually these cats will no longer reproduce. What you've done is you're spaying and neutering them, right? You know, by bringing these feral cats or community cats into these traps, having a veterinarian spay, neuter them, vaccinate them for rabies. That does good for the environment. In fact, eventually then that group of cats kind of dies out. And that's a humane and effective way to do this.
Right. And we've stopped the feral cat problem. Because, I mean, the last ones we did are currently 5 years old.
There you go.
But, yeah. I mean, is it true that cats are, you know, that they domesticated themselves with us?
Yeah, they kind of, yeah, that's kind of true. So a long, 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 long time ago, wild cats appeared in our fields and protected the stores of rice and
other
things
that were
growing.
You know, we only have about 30 seconds here.
The Siamese.
I don't know that it was the Siamese cat, but they were African wild cats. And over time, we have the cats we see today in our homes.
Thank you very much.
Steve, thanks.
Thank you.
Really, it's 20-second update on the canine flu people want to know about.
So if you live in Atlanta, there's a problem there now. In the Chicago area, it's diminished. I won't say that it's gone because it's not, but it's risk-benefit, and the risk of getting the flu is very minimal. The benefit of getting out there and having fun with your dog overrides that.
Thank you, Steve.
And we couldn't get to a million questions. When can they call you and listen to you next?
ChicagoNow.com/Steve Dale. You can hear me Sunday mornings on WGN 720 AM at 6:35.
That's Steve Dale. He's a noted pet expert. We don't make stuff like that up. The news is next with Roger Badish, and then Dick Gregory, political activist and comedian, joins us. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN. It is always an honor to talk to Dick Gregory. Mr. Gregory has been a civil rights activist, a social critic, and a stand-up comic for 60 years now. Dick,
wow.
Is that possible? 60 years? Dick?
Yep, I'm here. God bless. Yeah, 60 years.
60 years.
Man, I've been married 56 years. Are you serious?
That's not bad.
That on to my comic stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That ain't nothing but a big joke.
You know, it's odd that President Barack Obama, it's not odd that he calls you his favorite comic, but it's odd that you got bumped for him last week. We appreciate you rescheduling.
Oh, no, please. This is, do you know how powerful your radio station is? Right before you brought me on, I was listening to the financial report, and my son makes millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Betting. He's a little gambler. I don't gamble, but I look at all the newspapers. And you know what I tell him to read before you read the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah.
Des Moines Register.
Sure.
Why? They have the commodities. Anybody who decides, you look at that, you know who's going to eat and who's not going to eat.
It's true, isn't it? It's very true. Dick.
So that's the brilliant thing about gathering the news, but you have to filter it. I read about $1,000 worth of newspapers every...
Do you really?
Yeah, every 12 days. And I look for the crack in the fabric.
Yeah.
Because look at the two jailbreakers they found.
Mm-hmm.
Shot in the upper torso, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, out of all the reports you ever heard in the last 10 years, how many of them tell you they shot in the back, shot in the arm, shot in the head? Why do they use the word upper torso? So I got my people now finding out, is there some kind of law you can't talk about certain wounds until the doctor releases you? Or is it more to it than what they're telling us?
Huh.
I mean, here's two guys that, you know, that manhole they opened up?
Yes.
Well, that manhole weighs 150 pounds.
Right.
You have to be on a ladder because it's 7.5 feet from the ground. How did they do that? Huh?
How did they do that?
I don't believe they did it. I mean, you listen to what... You see, the problem with the press, you take stuff and don't know where it's coming from. They just send it in to you, and you don't know where it came from. And so, consequently, when you stop and think about... Look, I heard on your commercial about the veterans,
mm-hmm.
the suicide.
Yeah.
Now, America's the richest country in the world. Technology, can't nobody touch us. Russia can in certain things. So we have 47 minimum suicides of veterans every day. How come the Vietnamese don't have none? They don't have no great law. They don't have no great medical schools. What are they doing different from us? And we went to Iraq. We went to Vietnam. We went to Korea. There's no suicides after the war is over. So what are we doing wrong?
What's your theory, Dick? What do you think we're doing differently?
I think about the suicides is this. One, I don't care what nationality, what religion you are, if you don't believe, if you live in America, we all know about thou shalt not kill. We hear that. I don't care what religion, thou shalt not kill. That doesn't mean anything to you until you get there and you're killing people, and then you think about no other person that we go to war with have thou shalt not kill. And so I think when we start looking in that and finding out, hey, do this have any effect? It's like after the Korean War was the first time in the history of war our captured soldiers never, ever tried to escape. And so they couldn't understand that. Mm-hmm. And so they said, well, the reason is they don't look Asian. And so it wouldn't do no good to break out. And they said, no. In the Japanese War, we had soldiers escaped, okay?
Right.
And then, so when you look at it, we always portrayed the Chinese as owning a laundry.
Yeah.
Or selling Chinese food. Now, what happens when you get captured by them and you're from Brooklyn, New York, and a young 22-year-old captain, Chinese, spit and polish, you know, and he walks in, he's speaking better English than you and know more about Brooklyn than you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this don't fit the thing of Fu Manchu. It don't fit the thing of Charlie Chang'an. So when we realize that, that's why you don't see them silly Chinese stuff on TV no more. And so they know now how it affects the brain. So if you put the money into it, I mean, my thing is if you're going to fight wars, then the munition people shouldn't make 80% of the profits from war. It should go into a kitty for the people who fight the wars, for researchers.
Yeah. And
what it's about. No, that's our fault. Them folks who's doing it, they don't send no children to war. We do. And then when you stop and think about last year and the year before, soldiers was dying because they couldn't get appointments.
Right. It's terrible.
Same thing with the police. Here's how you do. Now, they said, well, with all these shootings of minority people, we got to retrain it. Let me tell you something. You cannot retrain a bird dog. Okay? So we're going to retrain the bird dog to kill sheep. On the way to get the sheep, they see a bird, they're going to kill it.
Yeah.
How do you untrain? Here's what happens. The three most important people to a democratic society is, one, the firefighters. Why? Because if all firefighters went on, if they go out on strike, the whole town can burn down.
Sure, of course.
Then come the cops. If all the cops run out, everybody's not going to get raped or killed. And then the school teachers. They're the lowest rate. Watch my mother. Lucille Gregory, no formal education, worked for rich white folks, and they wasn't paying. They would go on vacation with their children, and they never left no little spending money for her. So they get to the point, well, she started stealing stuff out of their house. That's mm-hmm. the same thing I'm looking at the cops do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be, if your mother and father sent you to med school, you're not going to be a damn cop, man. That is a bad job, okay? But if we pay them, every cop, children should be able to go to college free, okay? Now, let me tell you something about segregation. Well, if I was black and lived in Mississippi, and you white and lived in Mississippi, and you went to med school or law school, the black colleges didn't have it. So we got to go to law school and medical school for free. Did mm-hmm. you hear what I just said?
Free.
We go to Harvard, Yale, okay?
Yeah.
University of Chicago, they pay us round-trip tickets, two and four, six times to be with the family. They pay all of that. Okay, why don't you do it for the cops?
Kind of curious, isn't it? It is. Dick, hold on. We have to take a quick break, but we have to get your opinion on the Confederate flag controversy. We're both very curious to know your take on the Confederate flag and where it should fly, if at all. Dick Gregory,
I'll give you that real quick when you come back.
We'll come back with that. Dick Gregory is here, comedian, actor, social activist. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Comedian, social critic, civil rights activist Dick Gregory is our guest right now. Dick, you know the controversy. It's been around forever, but it really hit a boiling point last week. The Confederate flag. Question number one, should it fly over state capitals?
Well, first, you can't get into that. It's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Like when they talk about the word. I don't use the N word. If a white boy walked up to me today and said you N word and then hit me, if another white boy walked up to me and called me the real thing, I got a federal lawsuit.
Yeah.
One is a hate crime, the other one is not. So let me just briefly back into that.
Okay.
When I was a little boy, growing up in St. Louis, rigidly segregated, I never saw white folks, okay? But I saw black folks, my aunt, my uncles, my nieces, some of them was whiter than white folks. So when I grow up and I see a white, I'm not scared of white folks. The average white cop have never seen a black person until they grown.
Mm-hmm.
So they scared of black folks. I'm not. So I can go to the movie and see Frankenstein. I pick up the news and turn on with some white boy and wiped out 20 people. I'm not scared of them the next day because I've been around white folks. And so I got into the movement, okay? And I met white folks, Father Flager, George O'Hare, one of the brilliant, lovable people on the planet. I got to meet them through the movement. And so now we go back to the question you just asked. When you talk about the N-word, the real word, you know what it is. 98% of black women do not use that word. Okay? Black men. Most white folks don't know that. They think all black folks say it.
Right.
98% of black women. I've been married to a black woman, 56, never heard her say that word, so it must be a man thing. But when it comes to us, nobody do the research. We just don't. And so now let's look at what happened with the down there with the flag. With the flag, it wasn't that. Let me tell you, if you want to get flags down in Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, and South and North Dakota, all you got to do is call for black folks and decent white folks to send no more your child athletes to them states. They'd have tore that flag down tonight, okay? That's their love of football. And when you think of football, you think of a black person. So that shows you subconsciously what they really think about me. If it talks about don't send Negro or decent white folks athletes to them schools, it would end overnight. Mm-hmm. And so again now, what happened around the world, it had nothing to do with the flag. It had something to do with those black folks saying, we forgive them, we don't hold no grudge. The world wasn't ready for that.
Right.
And then from that, then came the flag. That's where all the worldwide, see, there's worldwide opinions that make us react to. And so consequently, people don't know black folks. This is out of a Philadelphia paper, Sunday, the Philadelphia Inquiry, one of the fifth papers, good papers, at that time, that's no longer.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, March the 9th, 1997. Look it up. In daily life, blacks found to be more religious than white folks. Now, I would not say this if I didn't have this paper. Because you got black folks and white folks would think I'm lying. This is a white paper, mm-hmm. And it was a sociology group that found out and said, now, so now when you know that, then you see why they was reacting the way they was reacting. The question that should be asked is that young white boy that did the killing, he will never be able to be tried in the state. Did you know that?
Well, sure. That's impossible, isn't it?
No. It's impossible because that judge did something that no judge have ever done before. He let the families come up at the arraignment and tell the world how they felt about him killing their family. That alone, you don't have to be a lawyer to get that thrown out the whole state. And then you got to ask, was that an accident? All those statements have always been made in American court after the trial was over.
Right.
Okay? And so now, so when you look at that, so now what happened, the world sits and watch those black folks. It was the number one story in the planet.
Yeah.
And I have researchers all over the world, and I'm calling, and they just feel, they even felt bad. They have black folks up here. I don't know why they always forgiving. That's the nature of them. And so out of that comes bring the flag down. And the flag is going to come down. You know, when you start talking about advertising, when you start talking about affecting the economy, just like what happened with that gay thing and all you folks talking about the gay thing. Look, You think that's something new? George Washington with them tight satin pants on, them high wigs and makeup. Are y'all crazy? You think this just started?
No, it's been around for centuries, hasn't it? But now, but Dick, when you see the flag, you've been on the planet for quite a while. You're 82 years old. When you see the flag today, what comes to mind when you see that Confederate flag? How does that affect you?
You can't ask me that or most black folk because there's so many other problems.
Yeah.
Black men is 4% of America's population. We got almost 400 million people. 80% of prostate cancer death is black men. Okay? Black women is 6% of America. 98%. Huh? A thyroid tumor is black women. And so when I got a choice between eating or functioning or sending my child to school, black folks have the same feeling about sending their child to school, to grade school, to high school, as white folks do. Now you look at white America, they never thought they'd see the day they'd have a child coming out of Harvard, Yale, University of Ohio, and can't get a job.
Yeah.
And so consequently, now we've been through this. And so when I see that flag, I look at it and I have the same feeling. I would let me cut it short.
All right.
If we went to Germany today, right,
yeah,
as mean and as vicious as those Nazis and Hitler were, you couldn't see a swastika hanging nowhere in Germany. But in America, you can.
How about that?
Do I have to say any more about that?
No, you're fine, Dick. We're short on time, but really quick, if people want to know more about what you're doing, I know how busy you are. Where can they reach you? Is your website the best way to find you?
The website was best to build. Since the president say the way he feel about my humor, y'all should go hang out at the White House.
He said,
"Let me just say this: this is not the first time I've been mentioned by a president." Okay, when Nixon was president, the AP called me and said, "Mr. Gregory, we just discovered Nixon has a hate list, and you number 3 on the hate list. Can we get a statement?" I said, "Yeah, tell him I accept before he changes mind."
Go to Dick's website. It's dickgregory.com. Always entertaining. Dick, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Bless you.
That's Dick Gregory, everybody. News is next, then more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Roger, thanks. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. Wendy, have you ever had a friend who you've sent a letter to over something that just disturbs you about that friend? Would you ever be bold enough to either write a letter or make a phone call or just say in person, hey, you've got this character flaw, and if you would get rid of this, it'd be in everyone's best interest?
I don't think so.
You can't do that, can you? That's hard to do.
No, I mean, if someone asks you there are different groups, different people in my group of friends.
Right.
One always tells you what you want to hear.
Right.
Your
hangers on. You got some hangers on.
No, but I mean, like, she doesn't ever want to hurt your feelings.
Oh, right.
So
right.
She will, you know, does this dress
everything
make my ass look fat?
Yeah.
No. If you like it, you like it. But then you go out and your ass looks fat.
Oh, well, that's not good for anybody, is it?
No. So if someone asks me, I'm the blunt one and I will answer honestly.
And that comes back to haunt you, I bet, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. I'm going to read you a letter that there's a woman named Jade Ruthven. Jade had a baby and likes to talk about her baby because that's what people do once you have a baby. You don't keep it a secret. You tell people things that the baby's done, things that amaze you about the baby. And people go, oh, yeah, my baby never did anything like that.
I know. But you you having a baby already, and because they're 18.
Right.
You get it.
Right.
And when our babies were babies, there wasn't Facebook.
Yes.
So I've heard you listen to people talk about their babies, and I know that sometimes you don't really care, but you're very polite. I mean, the first couple stories you care about, but maybe after the 100th.
Then that's the saturation point.
Again, my theory is I only like my own kids.
All right. Listen to this story. Now, again, it's Jade Ruthven telling about a letter she received from her friends. She has a kid. She likes to talk about the kid. The friends aren't that thrilled anymore. Listen to this letter. Jade, I have got together with a few of the girls. The grammar's not great.
No.
The grammar's poor. I would write a letter back going, why don't you take an English class and get back to me? I have got together with a few of the girls, and we are all so over your running commentary of your life and every single thing that Addie does. Addie, of course, is the little baby that Jade has and likes to talk about. Look, we all have kids that we are besotted with, And guess what? Every parent thinks that their kid is the best ever, but we don't ram it down everyone else's neck, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. She wears a new outfit. Well, take a photo and then send it privately to the person who gave it to her, not to everyone, 4 exclamation points. She crawls off of her mat. We don't care.
Oh, that's
5 exclamation points.
That's so mean.
She's 6 months old. Big deal. Now we're back down to 4 exclamation points, so at least this woman's calming down a little bit. Stop and think. If every mother posted all that crap about their kid, I'm sure that they would get over it pretty quickly. We can't wait for you to get back to work. Maybe you won't have time to be on Facebook quite so much. Addie is gorgeous, and we all love her. Sounds like it. But our kids are great, too. I guess we're just, can I say pissing on the air? I guess we're all just talking a lot about people, and your Addie does this, and your Addie does that. Well, we thought about it for the first month, but we don't think about it anymore. Not everyone is as interested as you are about what Addie does. Please give us all a break. 4 exclamation points there. She's calmed down. We're doing this to let you know what people really think.
That's terrible.
I can't imagine anyone having the gall to do this.
And this one, speaking as a representative for the others, is it's just rude. It is just so rude.
She says she got together with the other girls and that they've all gotten, you know, this is the attitude they all have. You don't see it that way? You think this is just one woman's opinion on this?
I think she got together with the girls, but I just think it's a rude way of doing it. And, you know, there are some times that I will get a text or an email from somebody and a picture of their kid.
Right.
And, you know, I'll look at it and go, oh, that's really cute. And then I move on.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I guess if I got 100 a day.
That's a little bit much.
But you know what? So you just go, oh, they're excited about their new baby, and you just
delete the picture. That's what I think. It's not really hurting anybody. I don't know what else.
This is a bitter woman who started this.
In my head, I'm trying to figure out, was there some prior problem with these two prior to this? There had to be something.
And it boiled over now.
Yeah,
this
doesn't just come out of nowhere, does it? You wouldn't be that. I mean,
That's cold.
Her to bring all the other girls into it,
that's really bad.
Because you know, like you said, some of your friends are always, you know, saying nice things about you. Some aren't.
Sure.
Obviously, all those girls are not going to agree with her opinion.
Don't you know?
And not to that extreme, maybe.
Yeah,
either.
So they're going to be really hooked off at her, hopefully.
Right. Don't you know that during the course of the day, you're going to hear some stuff that fascinates you? You're going to hear some stuff that's mid-range where you go, oh, that's interesting to know. I don't know what I do with that. And then you're going to hear stuff that's just day-to-day, kind of just small talk. You get that, right? You know that's going to happen on a daily basis.
Not every moment of your life is quality material.
Right, right, right. So if some of it, my guess is, and I could be wrong, maybe I'm wrong on this, my guess is this is Jade's first child. Because you tend to, with the first child, you tend to overplay it a little bit, right?
And it's exciting to you. By the second or third,
it is exciting. Yeah.
It's just, that's a rude way of doing things. I mean, you're friends. So, you know, some friends say, oh, look at I have a friend who texts me pictures of her new shoes she gets.
I would unfriend them immediately.
No, I think it's cute. It's like, oh, beautiful. I mean, that's what friends do. You look at pictures of my dog, which I know you don't really want to, but
I never said that out loud.
Well, I don't do it 100 times a day.
I know.
But I mean, that's part of being friends with someone.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you're selfish and it doesn't pertain to you, we'd all like to go, yeah, I don't really care.
Right.
But we do care because we're friends with this person.
Now, here's the problem that's going to erupt here. This woman, Jade, is on maternity leave right now. She's going to come back to an office that's going to be uncomfortable at best. Because she's not going to know who else was in on this letter. She'll obviously know the one person who wrote it. Has some disdain for her, but everybody else she looks at, she's like, is that one of the people who thinks I talk too much about my kid?
That's
can't
terrible.
Be good. She's going to have to quit.
Maybe she won't go back to work. We should talk to her.
Talk to her.
Because I just think that's the rudest thing ever.
Kevin, get Dick Gregory back on. I want to get his opinion on this.
No one in the listening land understood him either. I mean,
there were a couple of people who were happy.
Like, why are you letting this guy ramble?
Right.
I thought it was some interesting stuff.
I know. He didn't sometimes his answers and our questions didn't quite link up like you would hope.
It wasn't a conversation as I hoped.
Right. Right, that's true.
It was a performance.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I thought he was very fascinating, but there are just mean people sending us texts.
I know.
And I think it's the woman in who did this letter. I think she keeps
texting also sending us letters. She'll be all right. She'll calm down. All right, so what, is there a lesson to be learned from this? I guess it's just that you have to know that throughout a day, there's some stuff that will fascinate and devastate you, and there's other stuff that won't. You just got to keep an even keel, right? You got to realize it all balances out somehow. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I hope that's fair.
And these are work friends, right?
Right.
Because that, you know.
Right. But it made me think, I don't know if it did this to you, but as I read this morning, and I'm thinking, all right, what kind of a letter would you guys hear on the show? What would you and Kevin and Mary, Steve's not here today, what would you guys send me in a letter? Would you guys ever go, hey, we like you and stuff, but would you stop talking about this or this or this?
I'm answering honestly and not trying to be funny. I don't really want to waste my energy worrying about things that bother me of other people.
Yeah.
To me, that's wasted energy.
It is.
It's like, oh, so-and-so's doing this and it bugs me.
Right.
You know what? So what?
Right.
It's their life. They can do what they want.
Right.
I just don't want to waste that energy. I miss positivity this year in 2015.
That's what I call you, is miss positivity.
I still got it.
I do. When I send you letters, I don't even put your name on the envelope anymore. I just put miss positivity, and you probably
get
those.
It comes right to me.
It comes right to your house. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More show ahead. You want to reach us, 312-981-7200. That's the call line and the text line. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Let me catch up really quickly, and then a phone call or two at 312-981-7200. Jade Ruthven had a baby. A little baby.
She called it rock and roll.
And she called it rock and roll. She also refers to it sometimes as Addie, and she likes to talk about Addie with her coworkers and friends until her friends got together and sent her a scathing note just going, enough with the kid already. We've all had babies. Some of us don't want babies now because of your baby. We're sick of hearing about
don't
your baby.
Blame the baby.
Stop telling us about your kid. We think that that's a little bit out of hand. That's a little rude.
It's terribly rude. Yeah. Debbie, what do you think about this?
I have feelings across the board. First of all, a new mom has feelings and emotions bouncing off the wall. And to say something like that to a new mom who is already dealing with being a new mom, her own feelings, maybe baby blues even, you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's really horrible, horrible. And who are these people? Are they really friends?
No.
Doesn't sound like it.
I mean, are they really friends?
No.
I think that someone would tell you to your face. You know, a letter, that's a coward's way out.
But how do you tell someone, all right, enough with the baby? You would never say it.
No.
So this woman is a coward.
You wouldn't. Exactly. And my point exactly, not just a coward, but obviously she has some other issues.
It seems like it.
Maybe the attention is off her.
Oh.
Maybe she's jealous of this new mom. I don't know. But somebody that does that, I think, has a deeper, more rooted problem than just the lady showing too many baby pictures.
That's what it seems. There has to be something else going on.
Yeah, your friends. I mean, and especially if they have all been moms already. Now, maybe they're not moms. Maybe somebody can't have a child. Who knows what the whole situation is. But if they're all moms already, you think they'd understand and give the woman a break.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
So true.
Very rude.
Yep.
Very rude. Is this Mario?
This is Mario.
Hey, Mario.
Hello, Wendy.
Were you in a similar situation?
Well, yeah. You know, I have a niece who had a newborn baby about a year ago, and she, you know, is obviously very excited about it and has posted numerous pictures and comments about her newborn baby. And as a person, I have a choice to read them or not. I don't see why anybody should have to write a letter being rude about it to the mother of the newborn baby. If you don't want to read it, don't read it.
True.
I agree.
Yep. So well said.
Yeah, I just don't know why she should be so mean like that, you know. And my niece is still doing it. And yes, occasionally I do look at the pictures, and sometimes they do bring a smile to my face. But again, I have the choice to read them or not, or look at them or not.
Right. That's perfect. Thanks, Mario. Have a great day. Right. Have you ever told somebody, I've had this happen more than once in my life, you tell somebody a story, you go, oh, this is good. Wait till they hear this. And then you tell them the story, and then the person goes,
wah, wah.
No, worse than that. Worse than that. You wait for it, you know, you tell your story, and then it's over, and the person goes, well, I guess you had to be there.
Oh,
that's
my God.
That's like the ultimate slam down, isn't it? There's
yeah, but
nothing
it's also
worse.
From 20 years ago.
Right, right.
That's so Pee Wee Herman.
Right. Well, I guess you had to be there. Well, I was
Who
there, and it was enjoyable.
Anymore?
I've had a couple times where I go, I'll tell them the story about the bear, and then I tell them the story about the bear, and they go, well, I guess, well, you wouldn't have been there because the bear would have killed you.
Yeah, no one says that anymore.
Isn't that terrible?
You know, again, I am so sick of people being rude.
Right. What happened to people? Be nice to each other. Come on.
There's just so much hatred.
I know.
Everybody's so rude. And
I know.
Again, this brings me back. You know, I had forgotten about it. And again, I don't like to focus my energy on other people's negativities.
But
there are just so many people on Facebook that feel they can just say about you, lose the stupid hat, or about me, oh, you need a makeover. Like, I'm not here for your... First of all, we got into radio because nobody could see us. This was before Facebook.
Right.
This was before video cameras streaming in the studio. We got into radio because we didn't want to be looked at.
I'm going to start, as of tomorrow, anytime there's a picture taken of me, instead of my picture, I'm going to put in Noah Wiley's picture.
All right.
That'll look like I'm with Noah Wiley.
Right. People will start talking and think we're dating.
Everybody will be happy. You'll get to be with Noah Wiley. I can look like Noah Wiley. I think the only person who loses in this really is Noah Wiley. I think we're going to hear from his attorneys at some point.
But I just don't see why people can do that. I don't do that to somebody. And the people who tell me that I need a makeover, I look at your profiles, people.
And?
You want to see who needs a makeover? Look in the mirror. But I don't
Go
say
on,
that
name
to
names.
Them.
Who are their names? Say their names.
But I don't say that to them. And I don't even really mean it. I'm just trying to get them
right.
mad.
Right.
Because who... It's just not... It's not right.
Do you know, on Friday, at the beginning of the show, at 9 o'clock, they announced... our own Steve Bertrand announced the Supreme Court's decision on gay marriage. And you and I both said essentially the same thing. This is a landmark day. This is something that took way too long to happen. And we got tons of texts from people who agreed with us. Thank you very much. And I know the whole show, everybody who listens isn't going to agree with us, but there were some of the most angry, mean texts.
With terrible words.
I know. From people who just said, you know, this is the end of the world as we know it. This is what the devil's been preaching. That day has come. And it's not. It was what I think we were trying to convey on Friday. It was an extremely important day for people who love other people and were not able to get the same benefits as the rest of us to finally have that happen.
The same legal benefits.
I know.
If your religious belief doesn't have you agree with that, then go about your business and don't waste your energy on what someone else is doing.
Right.
When we get up to heaven, if we believe, we'll answer to the big guy on our own. Let him decide. Don't you waste your energy deciding. And it's not a religious issue because you have Jewish people, you have Catholic people, you have Lutheran people. They don't all believe the same thing.
Right.
So it's a legal issue that people can get married. And now you get your people who go, oh, so is bestiality going to become...
There's no correlation at all.
I know!
We did get texts going,
yes,
are people going to get married to a hamburger now or a basketball?
And what is wrong with people?
Hopefully there will be a day where you can marry a hamburger or a basketball. We've not seen that day yet. I would love to see that day at
some point. I would marry a hamburger in a second.
It would be great to marry a hamburger.
I love hamburgers.
I got an email from a listener, which started out very, very kind.
But then
said, you know, what you don't understand, Bill, and tell Wendy I said this too, is this waters down the sanctity of marriage. If you look at the statistics on marriage, which has been primarily man and woman, we're hitting it about 50%, which is really not very good.
No, divorce
is really terrible. So if you're going to use that as a reason that gay people or lesbian people cannot get married is because this waters down the sanctity of marriage, the stats prove you wrong right there. We're hitting 1 out of 2. That's not very good. So my guess is the stats with gay people will be probably pretty similar to that, showing once again that they're not different from us. Really, they're not.
And if you don't agree with it, then don't marry someone of the same sex.
Right.
I mean, really, that's right. The bottom line.
Right. It doesn't water down your own marriage. It won't. This happened on Friday. The sun still came up, not as bright as we wanted it to the next day, but it still shone. So it didn't ruin the planet. We're still spinning. We're still fine. I just don't. I mean, it fits along the lines of why so angry, because I don't understand I understand not agreeing with it. I get not agreeing with it.
And that's your business.
But don't be angry about it.
I know. I don't like white purses, so I will never buy a white purse. That is my decision. There are people who love white purses.
Yeah.
They can have them.
Yeah.
I look at them and I'm like, I wouldn't buy that. But that's my decision. I don't go up to somebody on the street or on Facebook and post, "You're stupid for having a white purse."
Well, you don't anymore.
Oh, I'm
there
just,
was a time where I remember you used to do that.
Sick of people being angry and wasting their energy ragging on someone else, as I'm doing now, and I apologize.
We're going to do the news, and then everyone gets a lollipop. I'm going to cheer everybody up. I got lollipops for everybody.
Stickers, too?
There might be some stickers. Roger Badish has the news. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn of the Tribune joins us each Monday, and each Monday he selects an adjective that he would like to be described as in the introduction. Please note that he picks these adjectives. Many of them are dead on. You decide if today's is. I'd now like to welcome the distractingly sexy Eric Zorn.
Jeez, thank you, Eric.
Hello, Eric.
Well, you used that for, didn't you use that for Steve Dale earlier?
No, we are.
No,
of,
he called him annoying.
I should say
that
he was
annoying. Bad.
I did. I referred to him
and
as annoying
not.
Today.
And he's not. You just
he's
love to tease
annoying.
Him.
He's not annoying. He's just fun.
Well, you know the story about behind distractingly sexy?
No.
There's this guy, Nobel Prize-winning biochemist named Tim Hunt, who worked at the University College of London, and he was at the World Conference of Science Journalists earlier this month, and he said, "Let me tell you about my trouble with girls." He said, "Three things happen when they're in the lab with you. You fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and when you criticize them, they cry."
Oh.
And so the distractingly sexy hashtag is all over Twitter about making fun of this guy who did lose his job.
So. Oh, he did?
Well, we frequently have the sexy scientist Lucianne Wachowicz on the show.
Yes.
But she truly is distractingly sexy, right?
She is.
Yeah.
Nice screensaver.
Thanks.
anyway, so that's why I chose that. That's why I chose that description. And actually, no one has ever described me as this, but until today.
It's nice to be called distractingly sexy, and you pull it off.
Isn't it sad when you have to come up with your own adjectives to have somebody call it?
It's very sad. Can I make a pitch, by the way, that next Monday, you guys are out of here, and Mary Schmeek and I are taking over the studio.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Yes, we did.
I told Bill, Friday's your last day. You might as well pack up your stuff. Right, take it over. No, it's going to be fun. But Bill wants to know how I could be the Monday guest if I'm the host.
Eric will be both host and guest on next Monday's show.
That is going to be fantastic for him because he can use his own self-made adjectives to promote himself. Coming up at 11:30.
You can't lose, Eric.
This
you can't lose.
Well, speaking of big egos,
yes.
Donald Trump was just up in the Tribune.
Our next president?
Editorial board conference room.
Yeah.
And he spoke to us for a little more than an hour, just sitting at the table.
Did he yell at anyone?
He didn't yell at anyone. He did walk in going, "Where's the architecture critic?" Because, you know, Blair Kamen.
Did not enjoy the Trump Tower.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, "You know, a lot of people, I get a lot of great comments on that sign all the time." And you like the Trump sign?
It doesn't bother me. It's something different if every building looked like that, but it doesn't bother me. It's cool.
Anyway, the main takeaway, I think, from this hour we spent with Trump is that you should not underestimate this man and the appeal that he's going to have to a lot of voters, because to him, just about every problem that we have can be solved by some simple nostrum, some simple solution that involves getting tough.
Right.
And he came in and said, "You know what you really need to deal with here in Chicago? Your crime problem is out of control." So all over the world, Chicago has come to stand as a place that's more dangerous than Afghanistan, that it's this terrible place to go. And he says, you know, it's going to hurt your city, and you need to do something about it. So the obvious follow up question is, well, what?
What do you,
you
know, do?
What do we do? And he says, you got to
get tough.
You got to get tough with these kids. And then he told this long story about when he was a young man in the '60s, and he and his father would go eat at White Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the cops would come in, and they had billy clubs, and they were young kids giving anybody a group. They would pull out those billy clubs, and these kids were afraid of them, and they respected the cops. And so I guess the takeaway is we need to go out and just like have the problem is we need more.
We need more billy clubs.
More brutality, more billy clubs.
Yep.
And that's sort of a, it was sort of similar to what he was talking about for just about every problem
right.
we talked about. The problem, you know, we talked about the Iranian nuclear deal. We got to get tough. We got to triple the sanctions.
Get my billy club.
Right.
Yeah, and if they don't, well, what is the question? So what are we going to do with it? What if Iran doesn't knuckle under to these sanctions? I mean, he wants to triple the sanctions.
Yes.
And if that doesn't work, what happens? And we're so pressing. Well, what do you do? And he's like, well, he goes, we'd have to go in there. We'd have to go in there with drastic measures. And I assume he means something worse than billy clubs in that case.
Eric, he announces his candidacy a short time ago, and we all have a good hearty chuckle going, well, that's the guy from The Apprentice. He can't be our president. He's the host of The Apprentice. And then I look at the polls where they list all 44 candidates, and he is number two. He's ranked number two, a percentage point behind Jeb Bush.
Right. Here's why. The couple of reasons why I think you need to take him seriously. One, he's got a lot of money.
Yes.
And two, he has a simple message. And again, simplicity, I think, resonates with voters. Because you say, you know, all these politicians, they're all so pointy-headed. And he's talking about, like, for instance, again, get back to this Iranian nuclear deal. He says, oh, John Kerry's over there riding his bicycle, falling off his bicycle, and you know, complaining about that. And he goes, then they're taking months and months and months to negotiate. Well, how long should this take? We should be able to do it in a day, maybe a week at the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who is used to making deals.
Right.
And getting his way.
And if he can't get his way, he can walk away. Well, of course, you can't do that when you're talking about Congress. You're talking about foreign countries. You can't just walk away from a deal.
He's going to take his billy club and go home.
But he is going to do that. But you have to know this about him. I'm hoping you do. He's under the belief that when he says something, just because of the mere fact that he said it, it's true.
Yes.
I interviewed him. We had him on at another radio station, and he kept saying things. Like, we brought up The Apprentice, and he goes, it's the number one show in America right now, and he's going on and on and on and on. And then I looked it up, and by no standard was The Apprentice ever the number one show in America. But it's one of those things that Trump believes, if I say it, it must be true because I just said it.
Yeah, he does that. And we were going through, like, issue by issue, you know, probing him on various things.
Yeah.
And it just kept coming back to the fact that he is a successful businessman
right.
who is very, very experienced in making deals. And that this is – and leading this country is all about making deals and getting tough. It's I can make deals and I can be tough. I asked him specifically about the Affordable Care Act. I was very curious about his reaction to the Supreme Court decision last Thursday and the insistence of a lot of Republicans that we can, you know, either replace Obamacare with something else or – put a whole bunch of fixes in. So I said, well, you know, can this be fixed? If so, how? And he starts talking. He's like, pull a string, and he goes on and on. He says, like, well, what we need to do is we need to make sure that we can sell insurance across state lines. You know, this is one of the problems is that if you have health insurance companies, they can't, you know, a health insurance company in Illinois can't sell in Indiana, can't sell in Kentucky, and vice versa. And that's, you know, there are a lot of reasons for that. And not very many of them all that good, but and this has been a conservative talking point for a long time. Then he says, I got to sit down with hospitals and make a deal with them and tell them they've got to take care of poor people. I don't want people to not have coverage. Well, that sounds really easy, isn't it? Like, oh, we'll sit down with hospitals and make a deal and tell them that.
Yeah.
And
that'll fix it.
It's just like, and he's going on and on. And I was kind of looking at my watch, like, and he doesn't shut up. He's going to be good in these debates. We asked him, Rick Pearson, actually, a WGN radio host and Tribune political writer. Rick Pearson asked him if he was going to pardon Rod Blagojevich. Because, you know, Rod Blagojevich was a contestant on The Apprentice.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
While he was leading up to his trial.
Right.
And Trump said that he liked Blagojevich, and he kept talking about how the sentence was way too strong. He really liked him. It was a tough sentence. He says he's a nice guy, not very sophisticated. But he said what he did was he made deals. That's what he did. That's all he did was make deals. Every politician makes deals. He's in jail for doing. He's in prison for doing stuff that everybody else does. And then he sort of pivoted on that and talked about, well, Hillary Clinton has done all these things where she's given speeches. He never really said exactly what he meant by that, but he was trying to draw a parallel between the kind of deal-making that Blagojevich got in trouble for and the kind of stuff that Hillary Clinton does, getting paid for speeches and being Secretary of State and so on. A really interesting pivot.
Did the president of Mexico just call him a bandito the other day? I know that there's some strained relationships.
Very strained. He talked about that, and he did not walk back his comments the other day. Remember, when he was giving his campaign announcement speech, he was talking about all these Mexico sends its rapists and its hoodlums over here.
Right.
And we start off, and he said, well, you know, there are a lot of tough hombres coming over from Mexico. But he says there are lots of nice people in Mexico, too, and some of them buy his apartments and so on. So you know, bottom line of this is you should not underestimate this guy, and he's going to play havoc in these debates.
I bet he will. Yeah. I'm sure he will. More with Eric Zorn. He's distractingly sexy, you know. It's Bill and Wendy WGN. Bob and Marianne are here from the Bob and Marianne Show. Hi, guys.
Hi there. Hi. Bob is looking you're looking like a surfer dude. You're tan, blonde,
yep.
A little spicoli, a little bit of crazy hair, but not too much.
Well, yeah, it was a weekend of softball playing and getting ready for Brian Wilson at the Ravinia.
Oh, yeah.
A week from tonight, I think, with Rodriguez.
Yeah,
is that
that's
right?
going to be a good show.
But today is all about Donald Trump. We're in our continuous Trump coverage mode. We have to give it a name, don't we? Get the graphic up from
Trump
the TV
Watch 15,
folks.
Something
like that.
How about
Donald Disaster? Or,
oh, yeah.
How about Dump Trump?
Oh.
Well, that would be an editorial comment.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Trump card.
Got to be more like, something like
Trump-a-palooza.
That.
Trump-a-palooza.
Because... we've got Ryan Burrow from our news department inside Maggiano's, where Trump is speaking. We'll check in with him in a little while. And then Paul Green is at that gathering today.
And by the way, did you know there was a
207?
There's a mariachi band playing right before Trump comes on.
That seems inappropriate somehow, all things considered.
Well, the scene out front, though, of Maggiano's on Clark Street is crazy. You've got about 9 TV satellite trucks out there.
Really?
And
yeah, it's
protesters.
Crazy.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
Loads of fun.
I want to know what he orders. So could you let me know?
Well, if I'm Trump, I'm ordering Mexican today,
tacos,
even though Maggiano's is Italian. He better go with that.
Balance things out.
He knows what's good.
Well, have a good show, guys.
Thank you.